Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It's the match preview show. Yes, Liverpool get their FA Cup campaign underway away at Arsenal on Sunday afternoon. I'm Steve Hoy, joined by Sam Walker and Andy Bell to have a chat about it. And there's a million different ways to go on this one, guys, because there's always the how serious did they take the cup? It's the week, there's loads of games, rest. There's players in international duty, there's players injured, there's a cup semi-final in 3 days' time. We've just been speaking off air and I reckon there is a million different ways you can go, Sam. You can go put all our eggs in the League Cup basket, look after players for Arsenal and just see what you can get. There's a chance he goes absolutely full strength because Liverpool had a few days off and after Fulham they're off for a couple of weeks. What's your initial thought? Because it's hard to put a finger on really what his plans might be.
Well, initially, without looking at the calendar, I just made the massive assumption that we were playing back-to-back-to-back-back in January, completely forgetting the winter break and how they'd stagger it. And I thought, he's just going to play Chambers, the young lads, Bradley, and it'd be Kwanzaa, Callaghan. But then I realised, actually, when I look at the calendar, we played Newcastle Monday, Arsenal Sunday, then we play a home game against Fulham on the Wednesday. And then you start thinking Arsenal actually in not the greatest form, not greatest confidence. And I'm changing my own mind day to day on, and actually Klopp might just go for it and the lads are in good form and just why not? And if you win, you win. If you get knocked out, you go, okay, we had a good go and we go. But and then I come back to Wednesday's game and start thinking, well, we need to make sure then Sobo and, you know, other players are not quite there yet, like Robertson, and you're like, so I can't quite make my own mind up yet about what I think he's gonna do, and maybe by the end of this show we'll do.
We'll have a chat, yeah. Because Ashley, one of our YouTube member, thanks Ashley, says I'm interested to see how Klopp plays, and I think he'll go with rotation instead of kids everywhere. And he said, I hope to come to a watch along soon. Thanks very much, Ashley, you're more than welcome. That's the thing, Andy, isn't it, is that it's not going to be a youth team, if you want, with youngsters in it. Liverpool squad options are enough where you can make five or six changes and still have senior players, and it can almost be the team that's actually been playing the League Cup. And it's still, listen, we don't know how Arsenal are going to do it. They haven't played for a while and they don't play for a while after, so there's a very good chance Arteta goes full bang. They've lost a couple of games. He needs his confidence back. So I wonder if that plays into Jürgen's mind as well, that if you put out a severely weakened side, you could get hammered because Arsenal are good. If they're going to go full strength, Liverpool might go at like 80% or something like that. I wonder, do you think that does play in Jürgen's mind a little bit?
Yeah, I've no interest in seeing Liverpool lose football games 6-0, and neither is the manager, ultimately. Yeah. So I think, you know, even in the deadest of rubbers in the Europa League against Saint-Gilloise, he still plays a relatively strong team. You know, it's not the team that we see against Villa in the League Cup when we play in Qatar the next day, or the team we play against Shrewsbury in the FA Cup replay when they put that in the middle of the winter break. I don't think it's going to be anything close to that. I think there will be rotation. He's not going to massively affect our chances, certainly in the Premier League. He's not going to do anything that's going to jeopardise our chances of getting points in the Premier League. Don't think he's even majorly going to do anything to jeopardise our chances on Wednesday. However, Sam made the point about the calendar there. You know, we have got a week and a half off after this, albeit it is the built-in winter break, which we know Klopp was so keen to get.
The players are getting 5 days off.
After
Wednesday, they're off for 5 days, not even training.
Yeah. And if there's a replay, they can come back, and if there's not, then you can get extra time off as well. So it's there's plenty to go. I suppose, though, Andy, you mentioned the League Cup thing there, is that at some point you could pick your best team against Arsenal, your best to lose, you could, because they're a good team. There's a semi-final of a cup that you know that you're two games away. With all due respect, two games against Fulham and then one against Chelsea or Middlesbrough, and you'd fancy your chances in all of those. So it does feel like at this point this is where the League Cup priority, because usually pecking otherwise League Cup's bottom, but it feels like that'll now flip above the FA Cup just because of where Liverpool find themselves in the season.
Yeah, and it, you know, massively jumping the gun here, because you know Fulham are, I wouldn't say they're a good Premier League team, but they're a team that can produce a good performance. If you go full strength in that game and you win it 3 or 4 nil, then you buy yourself a game off down the line, you know, because you're not
going to... We have not done that to Fulham.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but if you do that, then you can go into that game and you can rotate in that game further down the line, which I think's a couple of weeks away. So, you know, there's so many games which are calendared in. There's a potential one during the winter break, whether he does what he did in that Shrewsbury game, I'm not sure. I mean, it's very dangerous to play an under-18s team if they play at full strength. So whether it's something the managers agree on and they both do the same thing.
That'd be wild, wouldn't it?
It would be, chaos. FA Cup third round replay with two under-18s teams. But honestly, I wouldn't rule it out, because Jurgen Klopp is mad and he is very principled about this, the fixture congestion and the players playing too many games. So, you know, well, that's all down the line if we draw the game. But yeah, in terms of this one, I think it's not going to jeopardise the league. And we've got a much better chance of a League Cup than we do of an FA Cup at the moment. So I want to see us go and win. I've seen a little bit of chat about, you know, I want us to get knocked out. I'll never want the Liverpool team to get knocked out. But I want us to play the strongest team possible without jeopardising anything else. But I still want that team to go and win.
Anyone who's at Wembley in 2022, will want to go back. It's just like... there's this fear, I think, Sam, that you can't do both. You can't have a title challenge and win trophies. Well, you can. Does it make it more difficult? Of course it does. It absolutely does. But you can, because Man City have won trebles and won quadruple. And I understand they've got a good squad. Liverpool have got a good squad too. It can be done. I think the best way to work through this team, what it might be, first of all, rule and players out. So since that, obviously Endo's gone and Salah's gone to AFCON and Asia Cup respectively. The manager confirms today, Szoboszlai is not going to play Sunday or Wednesday. They've got a view on getting him back, hopefully, for Bournemouth, so you can take him out of the equation. Is there anyone who's not injured but has played a lot of footy, or maybe it's a positional thing where you think we have to look after him? For example, I'd say Joe Gomez might be the first one who's laid down and go, Joe's played left back every game and there's no one else. They brought young Owen Beck back from loan, so maybe there's a view of playing Beck, who, although he's a youngster, he's been playing first team football up in Scotland, the men's footy. That's what I think he might do in that. Do you think he'll look after Joe a little bit, because he's played a lot and he's so vital at the moment, given Matip, Robertson, Tsimikas are all injured?
I think the thing is, when I look across the whole season though, and look how many minutes Joe's played, I think he missed a couple of games early on where he might have missed one of those games. He was just shooing to start in. But and I think it might have been the one where Bacetic played right back early on, might have been the first game at LASK. So early on this season, Joe wasn't playing lots and lots of football. So when you look at his minutes, he's built it up nicely. So he's had 6 days off. Could he start against Arsenal? Yeah. What Klopp might do is just have a strategic sub on for him, right? Like Young Owen Beck, you're coming on 60 minutes, prepare yourself. Like, it's a pre-planned sub. We've done it in big games before. The big one for me is Trent. Trent's played a lot. I know we had a little gap as well where he was off, but Trent has played recently. Like, in those games where we've gone to Palace and Sheffield United and we had Arsenal United, I cannot remember Trent getting subbed off many times. So he's played back-to-back-to-back 90s, and he's involved in those games a lot, whether it's legging wingers back or trying to orchestrate goals. So he's the only one for me. Honestly, he's the only one I look at, because Virgis has played half a Europa League game and no League Cup game, so, or maybe half a League Cup game. So his minutes aren't banked. But I do think with Trent, he's the one who I look at and think, yeah, we need to look after you.
Because that's the thing is, Andy, I'm always resting when you're messing with your back four. We don't know being goal. It's probably going to be Alisson, to be honest.
He's usually the FA Cup goalie.
And then Gomez, if you're going to give Gomez and Trent a rest, that's where you're playing two young full-backs, and that can be difficult. You know, if it's Martinelli and Saka, sometimes you might think you can get away with one. And, you know, so for example, Gomez and Beck, or Gomez and Bradley, it might be difficult to do both. Unless, what Sam says, you might do half-y-half-y, you might give 60-30 or something, because it's actually the two full-backs. We've got no cover, right? We've got no senior cover because of the injury situation we found ourselves in. They are probably the two positions where Jürgen's got a bit of thinking to do.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he goes for Bradley and Beck, just because, as you say, I do think Arsenal will go for Saka and Martinelli.
Could you see him doing one of them?
I can definitely see him doing one of them, but what I was going to say was, you know, you can play Trent and you can say, okay, Saka and Martinelli, you know, we don't want them to destroy these young lads' confidence. However, in a world where Trent gets injured, it could be Bradley and Beck for like a crucial weeks, Premier League game, you know. Or the Fulham game. So it's that opportunity cost. Do you let a little bit go on the Arsenal side of things for the greater good? Quite possibly. Either way, I think it'll do Virg in there for a little bit of protection for them, bit of security.
With
Kwanzaa, I think so. And I think more or less any centre-half that's ever played next to Virgil van Dijk's looked really good for Liverpool. You know, you made Dejan Lovren look amazing for a while, so, you know, that just tells you quite the level he's at. And I think what I can personally see him doing, I can see Trent, Virgil, Kwanzaa and Beck. I think, you know, yeah, Owen Beck was having a great, great season at Dundee. The fans loved him. The manager loved him. And I know it's a Scottish Premiership, but Dundee are one of the worst sides there. So, you know, he's playing against the old firm, you know, once in every 10 or 11 games. And he's playing against teams that are better than him. So he's had a lot of defensive work to do. And he'll have been under the cosh quite a lot up there. So they loved him. So I don't think we'd have broken that loan unless we intend to give him some minutes. Now, whether that's 30 minutes off the bench against Fulham to give Gomez a bit of a rest, or whether it's 30 minutes here, or whether it's you know, a little bit of protection at the back, I'm not entirely sure, but it wouldn't shock me if he starts this one. I think he's more likely to start than Bradley.
Jürgen mentioned Owen Beck then. I'll read out what he said to me. He basically said, we've always been very positive off him, but obviously we lost two left-backs. So it made sense to bring him back in. He says, word for word, we're always pretty positive about him. It makes sense after losing our two left backs that a boy like this is available for us. So we brought him back. The fact that Carvalho, Williams both got brought back, Sam, because they weren't playing. They weren't getting game time and they want to figure them out another loan. He mentioned Nat Phillips, and they're going to see what happens with Nat and maybe get him another loan after it didn't work at Celtic. With Beck, he was playing, and the fact that he's been brought back, it smells of Nat Phillips against Everton because they can loan him back to Dundee. They can't, if he plays for us, that sound, he'd have to go back to Dundee and they'd welcome him back with open arms. Someone like a Carvalho or a Williams or a Phillips, if they play at the weekend, they can't go anywhere. They're off for the season that the two clubs played for. I think if it does feel like, why else would you have brought Owen Beck back unless there was some option? To just sit him on the bench, I don't see why you'd do that. You've still got Chambers and you've still got Scanlon. For me, it feels like he doesn't quite trust those two yet. They're not quite ready and he needs an option, and therefore that's why they brought Owen Beck back into the fold.
It's the sort of chain of command, the layer cake, isn't it? Like, it's Arsenal. It's not even Crystal Palace. It's not a home game against Arsenal. It's Arsenal away. It's the, on paper, probably the most difficult or second most difficult place to go and play this year against a team that are hungry. All the context comes into this. So to throw, you know, a young player in who's 18, 19, who's only played a couple of games, maybe in the League Cup or in the Europa League, when there's not a lot of pressure on you, going up against Saka, who's one of the most dynamic forwards in the league, is too much of a jump. Whereas Beck has played first team, he's had big crowds on him, he probably feels as though he's a little bit further ahead, his confidence is probably a bit higher. But at the same time, you know, you need cover. And he belongs to us. So even if we said to Dundee, sorry, but we, you know, we'll have a conversation next week, I have no issue with them bringing him back to be cover for a couple of games. And then, do you know what, if we do use Gomez for two games now and Beck doesn't kick a ball, I honestly think it's still the right thing to do, because you need that sort of backup. I have a slightly different take on it. I actually think Konate will play this game, and I think Qantas will play in the League Cup, because Qantas played in the League Cup, and I think Klopp will not care that I think he rates him that highly that he'll play him. So the only adjustments I would probably make is to your predictions might be that Gomez does start and it is Van Dijk and Konate, and I don't know who the fourth defender is, potentially, maybe he does go Trent, but imagine bringing Trent off the bench and actually winning.
I suppose as well, just on that point you're making there, Sam, which is an interesting one about the centre half, you know, the reason part of the reason I'd be more likely to go Beck than Bradley is Virgil plays on the left hand side and Virgil can cover for him and protect him there. If you've got Kwanzaa and Bradley, then, you know, that is sort of squeaky bum time. Now, Martinelli's bang out of form is what I would say. You know, I wouldn't put it past
him. He might be Trossard.
There's Reece Nelson on the bench. He hasn't had games either. And like, as much as Arsenal have a lot of space in between these two fixtures, these next two, they've got players on the bench who are desperate to play and who need to play and are picking up a lot of money and, you know, will need to prove themselves. So there'll be a bit of squad management element of it as well. But if you go Konate and Virgil, then possibly you are more likely to go for two kids at fullback. But it would still surprise me if he does.
But it gives, but what it does is if you did play Gomez left back, for instance, because you weren't sure on Beck in this game, it gives you that freedom on the right side. So even if we do play Bradley, Konate's quick enough to cover any mistakes he makes. That's why I thought that. And it just gives him that flexibility of choice, because I am worried about Trent. He's played a lot. That's the reason why I think
he'll play one of the kids and one of Trent and Gomez, and the other one will get minutes as well. They won't, neither Gomez or Trent will play 90. The kid, if he's up to it, they'll try and get 90 out of them. If they can't, they've got the other youngster. But yeah, it'll be interesting how he does it. Midfield's a bit different then, obviously. We mentioned before, so Suarez lies out. Endo's now gone as well, after the Asia Cup, and it looks like, you know, Japan are favourites. He might be gone for a while. It might be February before Endo comes back. I said it's the start of Endo's Ballon d'Or campaign to win the quadruple and the Asia Cup. Listen,
listen,
people talk about Jorginho doing it when he won the Euros, and they choose that purely off trophies.
I am all on the Endo Ballon d'Or top 10 bandwagon. I want him in it so bad. Asia Cup winner captain, wins the quad with Liverpool trophy. He's got Endo in the Ballon d'Or top five.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
But he's gone for a bit. McAllister's back and needs minutes. So McAllister, he has to start. They need to get him going. I know they have to look after him a little bit, he'll play. Szoboszlai's now out injured as well, mentioned there. Midfield, this one's interesting because they've all rotated a lot. No one's actually played too many minutes. They've all been in and out. It was actually Szoboszlai who played the most, and now shock horror, he's done his army. He's got Jones, he's got Gravenberch, he's got Elliot, although he could be a forward option. He's got Gakpo again, who can do both. What are you thinking in front of McAllister?
I think it's quite easy, this one. I think this is where the rotation's just done, because they're all at similar levels now, especially Szoboszlai hasn't kicked on. And I think it'll be as simple as Elliot and McAllister grab a match, because none of them started the other day. And I just think, like you said, squad management, about giving those players the minutes. I think if you had to hedge your bets, you'd hedge them on Wednesday. You would. And I just think those three are fine. And I actually think Gravenbach starting's been a lot better for us recently than he has off the bench. I think he's, like, even the other day, I'm sure you talked about it on your analysis, but he struggles to get into these big games off the bench. So I think that he'll start instead of Jones, and Elliot comes in for Szoboszlai, and he'll have to keep his place, probably, won't he, anyway, when we go into Wednesday. But and McAllister, again, just needs at least 60, 70 minutes, doesn't he?
The only pushback, maybe, Andy, is that Elliot might go on the right wing.
That's what I think.
That's the only other option as well. They haven't got a real right winger per se. There was talk that Szoboszlai was actually being earmarked for that when Salah went for the AFCON. Now he's obviously missing these two games. There's a chance where Elliot goes right, and if so, then someone else plays. What do you see the right option being on the right, funny enough, with no Salah? Because Salah would just want to play it.
So I think that is the plan, and that's going to be the plan for the league games. Without Salah, it will be Elliot on the right. towards the end of the season where we got the final in Paris, a quadruple, well, the nearly quadruple season. I think he plays...
We have to start calling it the double season.
I know,
right?
Yeah.
We didn't win.
No one's ever got that far. Yeah, but, I'm claiming that. No one will ever get that far.
It's the cup double season. I think
the cup double season then, yeah. I think he plays Diaz on the right in a couple of games then never touches it again.
Jota did a few as well.
Jota did a few on the right. I don't think he's any interest in playing one of his left-sided players on the right, a right-footed player. The only exception to that's Ben Doak.
And he's injured.
He's injured, is he?
He's done his knee, yeah.
He's out for the season, he's done.
Right, okay, yeah. I've completely missed that for whatever reason.
That would be an obvious one, wouldn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. I thought he'd be into that. That's completely passing by. So, right, I think he's going to play. I think he'll play Elliot on the right now. And I think he has to say to Elliot, you know, Elliot's bowed his time very nicely this season. He's come into games, he's done well off the bench. Sometimes he's come in to start, whether it's Europa League games, hasn't quite made the impact that he has off the bench. But I think you have to say to him, now listen, fair play, you've earned this spot. You're getting Arsenal, you're getting Fulham, and you're getting these two league games while Salah's away. The only problem with that is, and it's what we said about the, you know, do you play Trent or do you risk the two young fullbacks and then risk having to play the two young fullbacks in the league as well? I think the problem is your available midfielders at the minute, you've got McAllister, Gravenberch, Jones and Elliot. And if you're playing all four of those in this game with three of them in the midfield and Elliot on the right, then you've really nobody to fall back on after that, because Endo's gone and Szoboszlai's injured, isn't he? So, you know, it may be one of those things of, you know, we don't want to have to play a kid in midfield, but we definitely don't want to have to play a kid in midfield in the league going forward. So there's lots for him to consider there. We're actually, you know, considering we bolstered the squad quite nicely and we've far more available options this season, we've actually found ourselves quite threadbare here. A couple of injuries at the wrong time, a couple of players going away. So, yeah, I think probably Elliot on the right, but then, yeah, one injury to that midfield and we'll find ourselves really struggling.
Last time Liverpool played a cup game at Arsenal, Kate Gordon played right wing. Is that an option he played?
It's too soon. He's
played Europa football a little before. Obviously, he played left on that, in that game. Actually, Ben Doak was obviously on the right at the time, but he's potentially for this one. If he is going to make two, say for example, he goes a couple of squad options, a couple of rotations, a couple of first team, like two kids. Gordon could be one of the kids. He played him in a League Cup semi-final there. Like he obviously trusts him.
Ahead of Minamino as well.
It depends. We'll see where he's at fitness-wise. Yeah. But that could be the one place where if he does put Elliot in midfield and he wants to go, we'll talk about the two of the forwards left in a minute. If he hasn't got anyone earmarked for right, then Gordon could be the option. Sam, just even if it is just, and with all due respect, and I don't mean this like disrespectfully to Kay, but like put the minutes into his legs rather than someone else's legs, you know what I mean? That could be an option there, because he does have to look after Jota and he's got to look after the other ones a little bit. They've all played a fair amount. Is Gordon an option?
Yeah, he is, and with him playing in that position, alright, he could have an absolute really tough game, a bit of a stinker, he could, but it probably won't affect us going backwards if that's the case. So it could be a case of get as much into him as we can so that we can, like you just said, free up others. The other option, two options, one is Bobby Clark playing instead in the inside with Elliot on the right, because he's, by all accounts, he is in that sort of grey area between 23s and first team. He's way too good, almost where Jones was 2-3 years ago. Feels like that's where he is now, so maybe this is the time. Or the other one is, we contradicts my points earlier, but we play Trent in midfield. And that might be the answer, and just it just gives you that extra, because you play Jones and Gravenberch with McAllister there to the right. You've literally probably got one of your four. So you've got two of your forwards. You'd have two of your forwards on the bench. That's it. And then you'd be looking at, you know, if we go with a full strength back line, we'd have no real senior defenders or midfielders available to improve the game. So I think Klopp's a big fan of that. Like you say, even if you get minutes into one of the younger players or a lower level fringe player, it gives you that impact off the bench.
Jota starts, would we agree? He hasn't started much since his comeback. Would we think Jota from them?
He's my right choice.
Jäger has played him there before. He has played him there before.
Yeah, I think Jota starts this one. He's had the minutes, hasn't he?
Up front
the last
or on
two,
the
no?
left?
I think he'll start. I think he'll start up front. I think go Elliot.
Do you?
I think he has to play Gakpo.
I think he'll go Gakpo left, Jota up front, and Elliot right, but it's very interchangeable between those
I just
two.
Think there's like when we played Arsenal at home, that whole game stunk of space in behind the Nunes, and when we played in the league last year, it was Nunes's runs that it just makes absolutely no sense for me not to play him up front in this game.
I'm just thinking minutes wise.
I agree from a football. Yeah,
I agree from a footballing point of view. I'm obviously just thinking the Jeopardy.
We got subbed off on Monday on 60 minutes, didn't you? 65. Yeah. So that's like 6 days off, and you've only played an hour.
I suppose it depends what his front three is for Fulham. So if his front three for Fulham's, but for me, my front three for Fulham would be Elliot, Jota, and Diaz. That would be on front three for Fulham. Fulham. Yeah.
So then
he might go
Nunes then, if that's
the case. He might go Nunes. He's just doing my head in at the minute, I'm not going to lie.
But if you listen to what Klopp said after the game, this is kind of my big gripe with him, is that like he's occupying defenders like there's no tomorrow. Mm. And I think that's really important with Saliba and Gabriel.
Yeah.
Getting back, Gakpo just doesn't do that. Them two are so comfortable. Go on, mate, you go in there. Got Declan Rice and whoever.
But he'd be on the left, wouldn't he? Gakpo for this one.
Yeah, and I suppose Jota would be a good option to get, but I just think the sheer pace, like he's between his centre half. Oh, he'd be a nightmare. And yeah, you don't know what's coming once he's in behind, but he's a nightmare.
The more I think about it, in fairness, because Jota's played the last two, so Jota's now ready to come into this one. In my head, Jota's our best striker at the moment, so Jota plays Fulham in the sense that we're prioritising that. But I suppose, you're probably not going to take Nunez off in 60 and then drop him two games in a row. So yeah, it probably is. It all depends on what he's going to do for Fulham. But I think,
I think
Jota makes sense to come in and play in terms of his recovery and getting back to speed.
Yeah, defo.
Nunez, and he loves playing against Arsenal.
Oh yeah.
Nunez makes sense because I think Jota's our best striker and he plays a more important game.
I suppose there's a test case here because we are the right wing scenario, obviously Salah out for however long. Jürgen's comments before, like he said, I said to the lads, I'd wish you good luck, but I'd be lying. I want you to get knocked out in the groups. It's what he said to them as he sent them off.
That's hilarious.
But we'll see. I'm looking at the groups, I'm guessing both Egypt and Japan will get through their respective Asian and AFCON groups. But there's a chance here for them to get someone playing right wing Sunday, Wednesday, with an eye on Bournemouth and an eye on what comes, because Salah's going to miss five or six games now. Someone needs to be, by the time that Bournemouth game comes around, which is more the most important of all the games, potentially, and they're in half decent form, he wants someone who's been playing there for a while. There's a chance. If it's Elliot, for example, he goes to Elliot Sunday, Wednesday, and now you're the right winger for the week after you're back as well, and get him into form, because I don't think Sammy will want to be swapping and changing.
Yeah.
That right-hand side is the constant of Liverpool's team. It's Mo Salah, and don't worry about it. I wonder if you start moving other pieces around, I wonder if he just goes, right, Harvey, for the next month, you're our right wing option. Therefore, you're there going forwards for the foreseeable.
It makes sense. I mean, I've just said then, I think it might be Jota right, but then when you're looking at him, you keep digesting the information. I think you're actually spot on, and I would do that as well. I think Harvey plays the position well. He's left-footed. He's got a really good left foot. He's not quick, but he's good with the ball. I just think, it makes complete sense to play Harvey there. For the next four games, and then after that you see where you are. The only way it doesn't happen, in my opinion, is if one, injury, touch wood, but secondly is if he plays him in the eight. But I'm with you. I would much rather see him, if we're going to go full length and we're taking everything in about where Jota could play and stuff like that, he would be the ideal option to just stick him out there for the next month. And you know what, he's ready for this.
The only argument against Elliot on the right is Arsenal are without Zinchenko. Tommy Asu's away to the African Cup of Nations. It's likely that the lad Kivior is going to play left back. He's got hooked in the last two games. He's not playing well at all. Now, stylistically, I wouldn't want a Diaz on the right or a Jota on the right for the next 5 or 6 weeks or whatever it is. But purely from a pragmatic winning the game point of view, it doesn't really matter if you're sort of cutting inside or going down the line. You know, Jota is a better player than Kivior. He could give him a tough time. Diaz is a better player than Kivior. He could give him a tough time. Elliot is more of a technical player. He'll knit things together well, but is he going to get at Kivior and skin him and get cross into the box and have shots? Not entirely sure. So, you know, from the point of view of actually winning the game, that's somewhere we can definitely target, because he's not playing well at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense. Perfect sense. Right then, a couple of messages before we get the guys' score predictions. Daz says, stay, who's doing it on Sunday, please? I presume, Daz, you mean the watch-alongs on Redman. If you don't, then I've completely misunderstood your question. But me and Chris will be in the studio from, about 3:15 on match day on Sunday. So come and join us if you're not fortunate to be going down the Emirates, because honestly, listening to TV commentary at the moment is a chore. No matter what channel you're on, unless it's Ali McCoist, you're having a bad time. So come and mute it, listen to us, and we've got your covers every step of the way. At our live show, take a just another shout out for those as well. We're going to be live in three capital cities, Belfast, Dublin, and London. Which is the best of those, Andy?
Belfast
by far. Yeah, there you go. Shock horror, you said that one. Go to Ticketmaster, CH Redmen TV. You've got options to buy tickets for all of them. I'm calling it a tour. I think three dates constitute a tour. Sam, you used to DJ, you used to get gigs. Yeah. Would you say three dates is a little tour?
Yeah.
Three dates on the road.
It's like a football cliches podcast.
I love
conversation.
That.
Would you reckon?
Yeah, 100% is a tour.
There you go, we're going on tour. Get your tickets, ticketmaster.ie or .co.uk for the London ones, but yeah, search for us and you'll find it's going to be a belter. Keo is going to be with us at all three as well, singing some of the best Liverpool anthems. And it's going to be spring, by which point we're going to be top of the league by 10 points, already have won the League Cup, FA Cup semi-final on the horizon, and we'll all be planning another trip to Dublin for the Open.
I was going to say, you need to go, because I miss these, I'm a bit gutted. I always miss your live shows, so it's on Fridays, come on Steve. But if we get to the final, mate, you need to redo it, because I've got my flight booked for that, so.
Oh, mate, if we're in the final, we'll defo do something, probably in Belfast and Dublin as well, yeah. Around the same time, but yeah. Get yourselves involved, then. Come and join us, it's going to be an absolute banging couple of nights. So it's March 24th, I'm going to get this right, March 24th in Belfast at the Limelight, March 25th Dublin Academy, April 24th Indigo at the O2 in London. They're the free venues.
The O2, that's boss, that.
I'm effectively saying we're playing the O2. Yeah, we're playing the O2. It's us, Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift. that's what we're doing. Right then, guys, it is interesting because we've got no idea where, because we've got relative idea that we think Arsenal are going to go strong. It's a difficult one to predict, Sam. I think Jürgen mentioned that the last thing he wants is to win. Sorry, it's a win, sorry. It's a draw.
Yeah.
He's got no interest in a draw. Absolutely, he's always said that the last thing he wants is a replay. Like, it's just already too mad for him. It's another game. But what do you think, Sunday? Do you think they're going to do it?
I think it'll be a mad game, a manic game. And I think because we don't want a draw, and I think because our players probably won't be feeling any pressure, I think we'll play quite well. I think we'll proper put Arsenal under the cosh, might even go ahead, might even make their fans turn them a bit. I think the game's going to end 3-2. I'm never back against the Reds, so I'm going to go 3-2 Liverpool. I just think it'll be, if it's 2-1 or 1-1 at any point, I think Klopp will throw the kitchen sink at it, because he'll also be thinking, you know, if we get caught on the counter-attack, it's not the end of the world here. But I honestly think it's like, right, boys, this is the chance to just have a go. And it could catch Arsenal cold.
3-2, okay, Andy.
Yeah, I think...
You think we're going to lose? I can tell by you.
I do, yeah. I do think we're going to lose. I think there's maybe just going to be a little bit too much inexperience on the side. I think Jürgen knows what his priorities are, knows what side his bread's buttered on. I think if you play maybe a Beck or a Bradley and a Cade Gordon, two or maybe three of those, I think you probably just see Arsenal's class showing a little bit, and maybe losing 2-0. But... you know, I'm still at the point, as much as a replay is a bit of a nightmare for us, I would still rather that than lose, and I would still just give the kids a go at them at home, because you never know at Anfield. You know, Anfield does strange things to teams. If we go out there with a really weak team, the fans get up for it, all of a sudden you're massive underdogs, and anything can happen. So, you know, for 1-0 down and we score a 94th minute equaliser on Sunday, I'll still be celebrating it.
I think we're going to draw. I think there will be. Yeah. I do think there'll be a replay. I'm not sure if I'm happy with it or what it is, but I do as well. Mikey says it's 2-1, a cheeky last minute wipe Jota again to break Gunnar Hart. Yeah, he's done that in the past, that is for certain. At the stadium in cup games as well. That was with the yellow kit though, this one with the reds are in purple.
Wouldn't this be a boss game for Nunes? Just
on live telly, on terrestrial TV as well, isn't it? I think I'm right saying it's on free to air TV.
It's on R4, I know that.
I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna have to say that now, because I'm gonna have to clarify myself, because I don't want to be made a fool of. But I'm pretty sure the whole world will be able to watch this one for nothing. Yeah, it's on BBC.
Let's just hope it's as boring as last night's game was.
Yeah. Well, if ever there was an ITV4 game to add, it was ever be Crystal Palace. The Reds are getting the big time on BBC. But yeah. That's it then, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, really appreciate it. Thank you guys for watching or listening to this episode of the Match Preview Show. Before we go, very very quickly, if you want a whole month's worth of Redmen content for free, our Redmen Plus subscription service giving a free month away, go to redmenplus.com, sign up as a monthly captain. If you use the code Klopp, then you'll get that first month completely free. So you've got all of our amazing coverage in and around the Arsenal game and everything that's to follow in the month of January. All the transfer rumours, stories, all that kind of stuff. Plus the 50 greatest Liverpool signings of all time. That show is live as well for you to go and watch. So yeah, do go and check that out. And we'll be back on Sunday for the Arsenal watch along. See you then.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.